Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Health Blast Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher of Alternative Medicine and Wellness Radio. It is going to be a great year, 2015. We are going to have several of our guests who are inspirational, telling their stories, sharing a lot of their tips about how to live a holistic life and love it. We all have all kinds of challenges these days, and we say we'll try things, we don't get the greatest results, or sometimes it's just mediocre. But we're going to learn to love a holistic life. Isn't that great? We're going to learn that it's great to get up in the morning. It's fabulous if it rains, and it's absolutely incredible that we have these challenges and all of the things we can learn from that. And isn't life just a roller coaster? So thank you so much for joining us. Please check us out on Health Blast Radio on Facebook and also Health Blast 2015 on Twitter. Also, our website, drjeanettegallagher.com, for more information. We also have a women over the age of 50 group starting February 1st, which will be sharing a lot of information about how to help us and ourselves. As we are women, we are also caregivers. We are also part of this world that will be bringing more compassion and empathy towards others. Please do join, and please do check it out on our website, Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. And now, back to the show. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the show, Alternative Health and Wellness. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us today. Today we're going to be talking about germs and viruses and, you know, all those bugs and things that go bump in the night. We're now into January and we're talking about how the flu vaccine, it doesn't quite work anymore. Or, maybe we need to close down schools because there's germs spreading around. You know, we think about germs and viruses and we say, are they really those elusive things out there that I have no clue what they're about, but, they have more control over us then we have control over them. Today we're going to be talking about hygiene, personal hygiene, infection control, different things that we talk about in the healthcare professions, you know, standard precautions, talking about environmental issues. You know, these things are out there, but we don't have to grab on like a koosh ball, you know, to every single thing that goes around, you know. My kids, you know, when they're out in school all day long, I said the first thing you do when you walk in that door is drop your stuff, wash your hands and your face, and change those clothes. Don't touch anything else or do anything else because all of that stuff, we can just wash it down the drain. Why do we need to pick up our kids, go to the store, go to the grocery store, picking up food? We've been in a healthcare profession all day long, and all of that stuff is just going everywhere. You know, we are a little microcosm of our own, and we do collect germs and we collect viruses, and it's really all about personal responsibility. So today my guest is Todd Fox. He is from OutFox Prevention, and he's going to be sharing a lot of information about hygiene awareness. I really think that's the most important thing. We've gotten really lazy as individuals. You know, people don't even pay attention. Oh, give me a pill to fix that. You know, it's really not affecting my life today. I'm going to wait till it crashes and burns. But, you know, we look at hygiene and we say, so what? Just give me some sanitizer. Spray something on my hands. I'm just going to wipe them on my pants. I'm good to go. And really, is that the truth? And then we complain when we're sick. We complain that we don't have health care. And we complain that we don't have a drug to cure what ails us. Maybe it's really all about us. So, Todd, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Appreciate it. I always have loved your show, Dr. Gallagher.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Don't you think it's really all about we got to start waking up? I mean, we're such whiners, and we just, like I said, we're like koosh balls, you know, gathering all the dust and having our own microenvironment that when it doesn't work anymore, we're such babies, and we blame it on somebody else, right?
Oh, that is definitely what happens. I think our society is definitely building around this easiest is best. How can we treat it with a pill, just like you said? And, you know, A lot of times it really does take some simple principles to live by instead of taking a pill or relying on medicine. So, yeah, I agree with that. It's an interesting time that we live in right now.
Well, you know, everybody is saying, well, I'm not sick today, so I'm not going to worry about it. And I'll get a vaccine or for this, that, or the other. And then when I do get sick, I'll take the drug. You know, and it's really all about the concept of why are we putting these things in our body in the first place? So in other words, why are we exposing ourselves to things that we really shouldn't be? And secondly, then why are we waiting and then taking the drugs? And then third of all, when, you know, we have all of these issues in our body and we say, oh, well, I took these drugs and everything, now I need to go detox. My point of view on detox is stop putting the crap in your body in the first place and maybe you won't have so much a detox, you know, because it all ends up into this pool, into this body, and we're like we're demanding, I'm not going to pay attention to it until, hey, maybe one day, you know, the wind's blowing the right way and I'm going to do something about it, right?
Right. I think you pointed out the vicious cycle where, you know, if all of us could just stop and think about these simple principles or simple things that we could do to increase our hygiene and work against these germs, then we wouldn't need so much of the medicine. We wouldn't need so much of these other items that, you know, that people use to block germs. I think that, you know, living by these simple principles of hand washing and some of the other items, like that can block and that can definitely thwart any of those germs affecting us every day. And what I don't think people understand too is when they're not sick, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're not carrying germs either on their body or within them. So
yeah, and I think we also, every time we see the people around, you know, I've been in healthcare since 73, so let me no, actually 72. So you're talking to the choir here, you know. I totally get it. I totally understand it, you know. And I can tell you the do's and the don'ts, and I can tell you what I see and what I don't within 5 seconds of walking into an institution. And I really find that that's really an issue for me many times because people think that these masks and these gloves, you know, and these little white coats are exactly, oh, they're protecting me, I'm good to go, and the patients are just going all is well, when really it's like a snake in the grass. It's like so unfounded, that truth.
Oh, completely agree with that. And you know, one of the biggest myths is, you know, if they're wearing these gloves, that they're not going to be receiving any of those germs. But, you know, these gloves, you know, they attract the germs as you're using them throughout the day with your hands. And so there's so many points where these germs can enter your body or affect those around you. I think that, especially in the healthcare industry, that myth of, oh, gloves as the ultimate protector is false.
I think that, don't you think, though, with the idea of gloves and masks is, here's the biggest question is, who are they supposed to be protecting? If we look back when they really started coming up, I mean, in the 70s when I was in dental school, we didn't have gloves or masks. We worked without them. And the only time we ever put a glove on was when we had two or more cuts. That was a paradigm. Two or more cuts on your hands, you would put a glove on. Now, the only way you would use a mask was if you were, quote, sick, and in that case, sometimes they'd send you home. But other than that, you couldn't find a mask in the dental field.
Yeah, that's an interesting time. But yeah, I mean, times have changed, and these items, these gloves and masks and aprons and scrubs, they protect the actual health caregiver. But there is a way that they can also protect these patients. So these disposable gloves and masks, they can be thrown away so the germs won't pass to other patients. However, the myth that, you know, if they're wearing it, the germs aren't spreading to them, it doesn't necessarily translate when you're thinking about spreading to patient to patient. You know, some of these healthcare employees are going from room to room with the same gloves, same apron, same scrub, same everything, not realizing that they're spreading all of these germs.
And we're not really talking about getting super crazy about sterility here, because everybody thinks, you know, well, it's going to be sterile. Really sterile, the only place that there is sterile, and, you know, we can debate that, but that's not the purpose of today, is in the emergency, I mean, in the operating room. So really,
that's the
time when you would find sterility. You were really not going to find it in any other case, in any other venue, you know, other than that, because they really, you know, they have their precautions there, and they really do have a chain of command, so to say, you know, what you have to do and what you have to do in order and what you have to do in order to get into the room, but also what you have to do in order to disband. You know, when gloves and masks really came about, it was because of the AIDS crisis. You know, I remember that. I was full-fledged into that. And that was really when it came about. And they were like, well, let's put plastic on everything. And it's like there was no real process set up. This is what we're going to do. This is why we're going to do it. And this is how you do it. And you don up and you don down. And they didn't do that. So really, I think that was all a false sense that was really continued throughout all these years, you know, in these decades. And then, you know, you look at, we're all the way up to Ebola, and, you know, they're saying, well, there's breakages here. We see it. You know, we're putting this stuff on, but it's not how we're taking it off that matters. So really, you know, I think we have to have a lot of kicks in the tush, as I would say, as healthcare providers, where we're going to get sick, we're going to have these big crises, because we're really still not paying attention.
No, and I completely agree. We use our product, GloGerm, in many facilities to test multiple points where germs can spread. And one that is continuously surprising to doctors, nurses, and other healthcare management staff is that these gloves are not complete barriers. Even while wearing gloves, there is still chance and there is still opportunity for those to pass through the gloves. I mean, nothing is a complete barrier. Nothing completely takes everything out, and these germs are microscopic. So the you know, the ability for them to penetrate is possible.
And you know, when you know, you go to the office and you're working there and you might be sick and you're walking around with a mask on, well, you might be, you know, this idea of pull it up, you know, when you're talking to patients and pull it down when you're not. You really have got all of their stuff on the front of the mask, your stuff on the other side of the mask, and it's just a huge microcosm. It's the best thing to be able to, hey, if you've got a kid in grade school, bring one of those home one day and let them, you know, swab it on a few petri dishes and let's see what grows there if you think that you know what you're talking about. You know, but these masks are the same way. There's porosity in all masks. There's porosity in all gloves. That's why physicians know that, because they wear sometimes two or three pairs of gloves. They know that. They know that, you know, I'm going to put a shield down over, because they know that my eyeglasses aren't secure, my mask has porosity issues, and I'm just going to put a big, you know, shield down the front of me, and, you know, you look like you're in the spacesuit, because they know for a fact that there is. So really what we've come is like all round full circle. We thought we were, you know, donors of the great sterile issues in the 70s and 80s. And now we have the Ebola thing where this is the only way. It was telling us this is the only way to be safe from everything. Yet people still didn't recognize that. They really just didn't. I don't think they even caught on. Do you think they did?
No, and I think the hardest part is that with germs and other viruses being so microscopic, if they're not seeing it, then they're not realizing what it's doing to them. And so I think the biggest part of GloGerm, or why we use it in facilities, is people can see how germs are spread and how these fluorescent materials that we use as simulation germs can break through some of those barriers. We've done our own tests on masks and on gloves and shown that even though people think that they're being as careful as possible, these germs are still penetrating.
And, you know, I think so, too. You know, in the dental fields, we used to use disclosing tablets, you know, the red dye. And people would say, oh, my gosh, you know, I can't understand what are all these specks on the wall. Did you really think that it didn't get to the wall, you know? So things really do move. So let's tell us a little bit about GloGerm, because, you know, I really think it's a great lesson to be had. And I think probably everybody should do it once in a while, just to be able to say, you know, I never thought, but, oh, you've opened my eyes. And that's really all what this show is about. We're not about, you know, saying this, that, or the other one's wrong, because, hey, we all know there's varying degrees of that. But really it's about saying, how can I open my eyes to say, maybe I shouldn't do that anymore. Maybe I should look at something different.
Right. No, and we totally agree with that. Let me give you a little bit of a background on Glowterm. So we have a gel version, an oil version, and a powder version. And what these versions do, they're able to test different variations of where germs would occur. So, you know, powder would be more of what could be airborne, because as soon as the powder's in the air, it spreads and can spread as much as germs do when somebody coughs or sneezes, or when blood is, you know, kind of strewn about in a room. This oil, it simulates blood and how, like, liquids can penetrate other materials and spread from material to material. And then these gels are more of like a hand washing. You place it on your hands, and then you're able to test whether you wash off all the germs or not. And so for each one of those variations of Glowterm, we test gloves, we test masks, we test gowns, we test hospital beds, we test, you know, how the environmental cleaning staff actually goes through and cleans a room. That's a big part that we've seen, too, is, you know, how well people clean, like, even in schools, how well the teacher cleans or the kids clean up after somebody spills something or somebody sneezes, and, you know, and just showing those points of contact where germs can spread is the number one priority for Glowterm, because as soon as you show that black light, the germs are very evident, even though when the black light's not on, you can't see anything, and people think, oh, well, I don't think germs were spread, but lo and behold, you show the black light, and the germs are there.
You know what I think is the most filthiest thing? I'm on this kick these days. Produce. I'm telling you, it makes you want to throw up. You know, so you don't feel good, and you're sneezing in your hands, and you're putting your hands wherever. And then you turn around, and you pick up a head of lettuce that's soaking wet from that soppy, filthy water. And you say, oh, well, this one feels good. And you say, oh, I don't want that one. Let's put that down. And you go pick up another one. Oh, my gosh, I don't want to be the next one behind you to pick up that. And it's just, it makes you, I mean, really, if we ever thought about it, we would just, I mean, incredible. The same thing with, we speak about meat. People don't realize how actually uncleanliness there is around meat. I mean, there has been huge studies here in Louisiana in the past decade or so about, you know, the MRSA in the meat factories.
Right.
And, you know, that's incredible. People don't even pay attention to that. It's like, really? What are you thinking, you know? And it's different.
From start to finish. I mean, we have huge amounts of Glowterm in the food processing, just because that's where it can really affect thousands and even millions of people if food processing is down. I mean, and that goes for hospitals. Once one process goes down in a hospital and germs start spreading, it can go to thousands of people.
Yeah.
And it's these really important points where, you know, a thousand people will be touching or in that vicinity, where we really want to solve that problem and let them know that germs do spread, and spread faster, and spread way easier than you would ever imagine.
You know, I think a lot of times, too, now we're coming up on healthcare, and we're saying, well, maybe heart disease or heart issues are a factor of bacteria or our gut bacteria or some kind of underlying infection, or maybe cancers of this, that, or the other may have started a long time ago in some form of imbalance, you know, somewhere in our body. Or we say, well, a lot of these autoimmune issues, maybe they're somewhere latent viruses and everything. And we say, you know, if you look back at it, did we really have to go down that road of all of that stuff and then end up in this one spot to a point where we can't even help ourselves now? So I really think the purpose is about being able to say, steer yourself away from all of this as much as possible, because the end result is your body is just like those sticky balls. You know, I used to call them those koosh balls, you know, those sticky ones.
Right.
And, you know, it picks up, it might pick up a piece of paper, you know, but and then eventually that paper might fall off where you can use it, say, oh, a drug, you know, it took care of it. So the drug paper would fall off. But if you really looked at the ball, there was all kinds of paper fibers there. There's always residue left in your body. Things do not, quote, take care of themselves, and they just disband, and like your body doesn't have a memory in that. Really, that's what we call up. Well, now we're calling that dinged DNA. You know, even emotions can ding your DNA. Even exposures in the air, the water, the food, everything can ding
right.
your DNA, and you end up with a DNA issue, and then your DNA turns into disease. So I think it's really
right.
all about saying, what can you avoid now? And that's what you're really talking about, is that when you say, I don't want to wash my hands and put them in those gloves because then my hands will be too moist and they'll bother me and they'll slip and slide. So I'm just going to rub some sanitizer on, stick my hands in the gloves, and it's like, oh, gosh, that's like, what did you just do, you know?
Right. No, I like your approach. I think that there's definitely only one thing you can control, and that is what you do right now. You can't control
right.
what your parents or your grandparents or people before you and what they did to their bodies or what they were exposed to. That's just something out of our control. And so it's really taking that mentality of saying, these points in my life are things that I can control. So this is what I will do. And you create that personal plan of how to be more holistic and how to focus more on these small hygiene items or these small infection control processes. I mean, that's our focus. I mean, we don't focus as much on nutrition and other parts that would contribute to, you know, great
mm-hmm.
health or overcoming some of these diseases or overcoming some of these ailments. But, you know, our part on infection control and hygiene is, you know, let's start doing these small, simple things and really focusing on, you know, making sure that even though the barriers aren't 100%, what can we do above and beyond that to wash these germs off and kind of get rid of them? So.
And I think the idea about sanitizers, let's talk about that. I'm sure you've spoken many times to people about that, where, you know, if there's totally a lack of impossibility, I guess maybe that's an option, but I don't really have sanitizers, never had sanitizers around me. I don't use them. It was really just about soap and water. So what are your thoughts there?
No, we share your same sentiment. We I don't know, there was the announcement that sanitizers were going to be widely used in healthcare facilities. And
mm-hmm.
I think that for the times when soap and water really isn't available, I think that's
right.
an okay solution. Like, mm-hmm. it's better to start trying to kill it off and actually control it than not wash your hands at all. So we agree with it in that way. But we were a little bugged with the announcement because I think what that did is it kind of fed their addiction to wanting to just a simple solution and wanting to just, like, not have to deal with washing your hands. And it's like, oh, good. Like, I'll just carry a thing of sanitizer and that will do it. Whereas I don't
yeah.
think that really, I don't think it really solves the problem. I think it just perpetuated some more issues in the future.
I think it kind of left a false sense of security, too. You were expecting,
yes.
you know, every time you go to some of these, and I have been the receiver of this many times, you go into the doctor's office and you're sitting there, right? Doctor comes in. The first thing the doctor does is squirts their hand with the sanitizer on their door. And it's like, really? You know? And then I had,
right.
and then they would walk out or something, and I looked at the sink, and I don't think that sink has ever seen water in like months, you know?
Right.
And
right.
they just don't. And then they, you know, and then let's say they're going to do something, they'll turn around and just put gloves right on top of their hands, and you're going, oh, can you believe
yep.
that they just did that, right?
Well, and the thing about hand sanitizing, there's still the same issue that we have with hand washing with some individuals. Even though they think that they're washing their hand, they're either not doing it long enough or they're not really
mm-hmm.
hitting the areas that they really should. I mean, most people, when they wash their hands, right around the cuticles, on the back of the hand,
right.
the base of the thumb, they never get clean, even if they hand wash. And so that's an issue just from hand washing, but that is, I think, even higher when it's the hand sanitizer, because they're not rubbing it all and they're not rubbing it long enough, and it's not killing enough of those germs. And so you're right, there is a false sense of security for these hand sanitizers. And yeah, people just have stopped using hand washing, some altogether, just because they think it's just a simple way to do it. It's more convenient. But.
Well, you know what, too, is that if you define the word sanitizer, all that does is reduces by a random factor of whatever the product is, some you rendering whatever is there non-viable for a certain amount of time. You did not kill it. You did.
Right.
It's sort of like I like to tell this to kids. I say there's a flower and it needs sun to grow and it needs some rain to grow and it needs some dirt to grow. But here's what a sanitizer does. It's like putting a black plastic bag over a flower so that you're just kind of holding off the sun and holding off the rain, but it's still kind of, you take it off and it's still there. In other words, it kind of just slowed it down for that second, but it did not kill it. It did not reduce the numbers of them, and it did not reduce the potential for anything harmful to still be viable. Sanitizer,
right.
That's not the definition.
Right. No, and, you know, it's sad to even go to a lot of these infection control shows and see how much that has spread. I mean, you have very intelligent crowd believing that they will be completely safe by these sanitizers, and studies have shown that they're not. Now, other studies that they use show that they are, but, you know, from our perspective and what we are able to look at, like, they just aren't effective. They aren't effective enough to really reduce the amount of germs so we can stay healthy.
Yeah, it's really that they are reducing it for that moment. But if you come along again and you just leave those hands sit there, you can still culture something off of those hands. But, of course, their argument is, oh, well, you must have been secondarily exposed. You know, and I guess that's maybe their spiel on how they feel about that. But really what it is that it just was more or less like it kind of, you know, it had to take a breather and it's still active there. So it's
so
kind of crazy.
We did an interesting study on this. We did a survey that was trying to gauge how confident people are in hand sanitizer versus hand washing. And it was very surprising because in the very beginning, everyone was saying how confident they were that their hands were cleaned when they had hand sanitizer.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as we asked them an additional question that said, would you be secure enough to put your hands or eat off of your hands from just hand sanitizer? And 75% of them said no, that only hand washing is what would make them comfortable.
Wow.
So there's this shift where they think it's clean enough for work and for what they're doing, but as soon as it turns on them and they are able to see if it's clean enough for them to eat off of, they say, no, only hand washing is clean enough for me on that. So I thought that was a very interesting take on that.
So really, are they really and essentially saying is that they'll take that false sense of security because it really isn't important to them, or something that they aren't vested in, you know, and
exactly, yeah.
You know, and then just maybe it's like a kind of lazy attitude toward it that, you know, I'm going to worry about myself, but, you know, hey, I do better for myself, but I really am not worried about it in that venue.
Yeah, and I think that they try to just gauge that time-wise they're saving, and and it's clean enough. My employer says that it's fine if I just hand sanitize. So, that, of course, like, if they say it's okay, then I'm going to just do it. Whereas when it's turned on them and they have that option of just hand sanitizing, 75% of them said, no, I need to wash my hands to feel clean.
Wow. Let's talk about the food industry, because you do talk about it on your website and you have been out to educate them. What are your thoughts on that? What are you finding?
Well, I think, you know, there are a lot of the same issues and the problems that we see in healthcare and in school where people, same thing, they feel as though they're washing their hands well enough, but as soon as we use the Glowderm and they are able to see those areas where the germs remain, no fail, everyone is blown away, because I can send somebody, you know, who's works in a small restaurant, like a retailer, to even a food plot processing plant, I can say, go wash your hands for 20 minutes, come back, and I'll show you where you still would have germs on your hand that could potentially spread to food or to clients. No fail. Always some place that they forget or just don't think of, because these germs aren't visible. And so that's where the Glowderm has really come in handy, is because these food processing plants and these restaurant managers are able to show their employees, like, when we say wash your hands, we really mean you need to wash your hands because of these germs that remain.
And also, too, the fact that they're eating all the time when they're at work and things like that. It's like, you know, we are really doing our own health a disservice.
Yes. I think that that's the second level. So not just the hand washing, but, yes, the habits that certain people have. You know, when they go to eat and then they prepare somebody else's food, that food and or those germs from their mouth are now on the food and paper or cups or whatever they deliver to the customer. And then the other one that we have been really pushing over the last 6 months is money, and really educating people that when money is exchanged, especially in these restaurants, you need to wash your hands after you get the change, or even when they touch your credit card, or, you know, some people think, oh, I have a credit card, so it's not really dirty like this other money. And it's like, no, people are touching this. You're touching this. Everyone's touching these with their hands. And then you're going for your burger or fries or whatever you're eating, and it's with dirty hands and germs.
So let's play a little game, you and I. What are your two top, I'll do mine first, our two top super disgusting things to us. Mine is when you go to the a restaurant or something and they give you water with a lemon in it, it's just like, oh, are you kidding? You know, because ice water, we know the ice water is just absolutely filthy in 99.9% of the places. And then you turn around and that lemon, someone's been cutting it. They did not wash it or clean it before they cut it.
Right.
It's been laying around in God knows where, you know, on counters, on a bar, or in a hallway where they have the water dispenser, or in the kitchen with raw and cooked food. And then they just grab it and throw it in with their hands, and then you're squeezing it with your hands, and then you're dropping it in your water and going, oh, throw up. No way. So that's my number one.
Yes, I've refused to do that. So, yes,
that's
not my number one. That is not my number one.
Oh, so what's your number one?
I would say, especially in sandwich shops or other areas where they have fresh fruits, and so let's say a Subway where they have the plastic gloves, and they make your sandwich, then they go to the cash register, give you your change back, all with the same gloves, and then they go back and they make another sandwich for somebody else. And they think, well, I've been taught that I need to wear gloves, but
the germs spread.
Yeah, the germ spread, I just cannot imagine. That just drives me insane. I always ask them to put new gloves on. They look at me so weird, and I can't do it.
But you know what? At that point, does it really matter? Because already those dirty gloves have been in that food a million times already before you.
That is true. I mean,
I just ruined your going out to eat. You know, I don't even anymore. I find it horrible.
So what's your number two?
Let's see. Really the produce is my big deal, because everybody says, oh, well, I buy organic, and they go to some of these big stores. And the organic is usually filthier than God will get out. And then it's sitting right next to those that have pesticides and all that junk on. And then they got this soap and filthy water dripping down. And I've even gotten pictures. I have photos of, you could pick up a bag of carrots. I saw one day and I picked it up and I said, oh, my word. And the lady in front of me had just purchased them. And I had to go tell her. I said, did you look at that bag of carrots? She says, why? I says, pick it up. It was full of brown water. And it was like, are you seriously kidding me. Produce really creeps me out like nobody's business. And we won't even go near meat because I'm off of that. I'm a vegetarian now. So, but the produce and the water, and, you know, even my daughter says, but, Mom, you know, you should be just polite. Tell them to bring the water. And I'm like, there's no way. This earth needs the water. I'm not going to put it on my table and just have them throw it away.
Right.
So what's your second?
Well, it's kind of along the same thread. I have a hard time with shopping carts, just the handles and especially in grocery stores because, there are the produce and the germs that come from any of the processing plants or pesticides, plus you're going, people are grabbing a thing of meat and it's leaking and then they just put their hands on the shopping cart, kids are, you know, sucking on the handles and they sit in the seats, like, there are just so many ways that germs can spread on those handles. And so I have a hard time with those. That's when I do use those hand wipes that they have at the front of the grocery stores now. I use those all the time.
Well, I used to, but you know what I've really been speaking to a lot of people about is if you've got long sleeves, do you know like when the teenagers, they have those hoodies and they've got long sleeves and they always have them pulled down over their hands? Well, I tell them to use that as a barrier. Pull their sleeves down and then hold on to that. You'll see me doing that all the time, you know. And all the time I'm putting a barrier up, you know. And then they say, well, when you leave the store, it's filthy. I said, yeah, then you just fold it back or take it off. So really, you can wear a hoodie like that to the store because you're like, it's a barrier wash, you know what I'm saying?
No,
it's just to keep
idea.
Yourself from collecting, you know.
No, I completely agree with that. That is, I've done that on a few occasions when there haven't been actual wipes there. I have used my sleeves just because it's like I just know the type of germs that are going to be there, and that would spread to me.
And, you know, now that we're in the middle of the winter, of course, I live in the South, and it's going to be 73 degrees today, so, you know. But anyway, there's a lot of people where it's still cold. And I always say to them, get your kids little cotton gloves, you know, and have them put – they have them think it's the greatest thing in the world. When they come home at the end of the day, everything goes in the washer. You know, there's tons of those cheap ones. They're 50 cents each for kids, you know. And wash them every day. Are you kidding? As soon as the kid goes outside standing for the bus, rubs their nose with those gloves, you know, just throw them in the washing machine.
Oh, trust me, I remember as a kid, I don't know if my gloves ever got washed. And I guess I wondered why I got sick all the time, right?
Right. And, you know, they used to – do you remember when they used to make those rubber-lined ones and stuff? So people really never cleaned them, and they kind of just threw them all in the pile, and the next person puts them all on, you know? And we didn't pay attention to that. I think, you know, I lived in the North also, and it was always – or then you used your scarf to wipe your nose, right?
Right.
Crazy.
Yeah. No, but I think that, just teaching the simple principles and, you know, and really just getting a small plan. Like, I think some people get overwhelmed with, like, so many things that they can or should be doing, you know, and if you just really pick and choose a few and really work on those, then you can kind of build more into your routine and, you know, and soon enough, like, I think you can get to a point where you will be living a lot more holistic and germ-free, too.
I think that's really true because, you know, I don't touch water anywhere. You know, I learned this, and believe me, I think this is really a lesson to be learned, is that after Hurricane Katrina and the other hurricanes we had after that here in New Orleans, you know, water was very tenuous here. They kept saying it was safe, but everybody knew that it wasn't because all the pipes were broken. You could go exactly 2 feet out from the water plant, and there were broken pipes. So we knew it wasn't. And I took it a step further and said, I'm not drinking any water. So what you really do is think about, you drink what's in a can or what's in a bottle and has already been cold. So, well, like, if I go to a restaurant, you know, it's what do you have in a bottle or a can, and just bring it to me and I'll open it myself. You know what I mean? And that really has saved me from getting sick. There's been many times where people I've gone out with, we've all eaten the same things, and except they've gotten soda, you know, that soda that
glasses.
You squirted out of the nozzle with or whatever.
Right.
And they also had tons of ice in it, or else they had water with lemon, and it's like, I don't do that. And it was really a setup, and I wasn't – So it's really not about going crazy about germs, but it is a saying, you know, for 6 months, we're going to pay attention. We're not going to get water with lemon, you know, period. Not going to do it. And we're going to do bottles or cans, you know, and when we're out. And you will really notice that.
Yeah, I think that there's definitely levels, too. I mean, even if you don't get bottled, I think even using a straw is one step because, you know, when those glasses are dried, they're dried on dirty surfaces often. And so when you take a sip and you're sipping from the rim of the glass, like, you're getting the germs that are from the kitchen. And so, you know, even taking a straw that had been completely packaged is a step up from, you know, having just like a normal drink. So, no, I agree.
Yeah,
but, yeah,
well,
like, I think it just...
That's a step up of having a... what we would say, Montezuma's revenge, you know? That's only a step up. You might make it home, whereas some cases you might not make it home. But anyway, I like to avoid those altogether.
No, I agree with that. I'm just saying that, you know, the listeners that are in places that maybe have, like, okay water, and, I mean, it's just one step up from just drinking out of a glass. So.
Sure. Yeah, and it's really all about making baby steps. I think that's the most important thing we talk about over this period of this year is about try one or two things, say, hey, that works for me, or at the end of 2 or 3 weeks, you say, I didn't even notice it, but I've already instituted it in my life, and I don't even remember what I used to do before that. So that's really great.
Right.
It's not something you have to think about all the time. So really, these things will start to just drop into your everyday life, I think.
No, I completely agree. I've seen a lot of people around me, you know, take the example of what I do. And, you know, at first they would ask, like, oh, you know, why do you do this? Or, like, well, you know, why do you have the stamp? And as I've even been doing it just little by little, they've been taking on those same habits. And so it's kind of been fun to see other people get more into the habit. It's nothing crazy. It's just more of a, a baby step towards a more germ-free life. I mean, germs are going to be everywhere. You're going to be inhaling them, and you can't really stop that. However, you can protect yourself from certain germs that would make you sick.
Absolutely, and it's really all about just, you know, what can you avoid? In other words, if you're going to walk down the hall and get hit with 100 birds flying around, would you like to just put 50 in there? You know, your odds are better.
Right, right.
So it's really about taking out some of those hits that you encounter in the daytime and really be able to say, you know, I'm just not going to hit all those, you know, going through. Let's just take one at a time. And I really think that's really what we're talking about.
Right. No, and I think that that's a message that you always use, and I appreciate that. I think you've been a good supporter of that and just been out there banging the drum to help people, and it's been a great thing to listen to and witness.
Well, you know, Todd, can you tell us a little bit about what others could find on your website? Because you have a lot of resources on there for everybody, teachers, health, food, health, everybody. Can you share that? That would be great.
Yeah, so our website is outfoxprevention.com. That's O-U-T-F-O-X, prevention spelled out, .com. And what we include is GlowGerm, and then trainings on top of GlowGerm. So the kits include the powder, the oil, and the gel fluorescent materials, and then a black light so you can test whether you're cleaning well enough, whether you're hand washing well enough. In addition to GlowGerm, we also have a small manual for teachers and those that look over students, so preschools or daycares.
Right.
And that goes over activities that they can use to teach hygiene principles, not just hand washing, but, how to stay clean, how to not cough on others and whatnot. And then we also have standard precautions. So the CDC releases standard precautions every once in a while that update processes that are recommended. So we actually make those up into posters that health facilities and also restaurants can post, whether in the patient's rooms, in faculty rooms, or in areas that they need extra attention for the staff to remember when to use hygiene, when to barrier up, don gloves, don other items, gowns, et cetera. And so those items are actually free to use on PDF, but we also do sell them in a printed poster. And those are more just to help remind and help facilities get back up to a standard that, you know, would would get away from these germs that we have floating around.
But you have a lot of information. I think that's the biggest thing that's so vitally important, is that people are able to actually get this information here on your website, because a lot of people say, oh, this is crazy, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, but you even have worksheets and everything on the website, you know. And that's so important, because if somebody doesn't come out and tell them, they have really no clue, don't you think?
Right. No, and that is our mission. You know, we do sell Glow Germ and use that as more of our funding. But as mm-hmm. for information, yeah, we want to share and try to give as much free information out as possible about hygiene and infection control, because it's important to us, not just to, you know, make money or anything. It's more of a mission to help others around realize what we've been able to do by avoiding germs and illnesses in our own lives.
And since we really can't see them, I think that, you know, there's a lot of them out there. They're airborne, you know, they can be in contact, or, you know, you could just be breathing them. You have no idea where germs are coming from these days. People will say, you know, I never left my house and I got sick. How did that happen? You know, well, did you eat this week? Maybe it came in on another venue. So there's a lot of different areas there, you know, by just glancing at your website and reading a few of them, I think that really can get an idea. But definitely Glow Germ is the way to go if you want to prove a point to yourself just exactly what things are going on in your house or in your profession or in your practice or even in your schools or your daycare, because I'll tell you, man, daycare is the pits. I'm so glad my kids are older.
Right.
You know, because you just can't even stop it there. It's just like, oh, my goodness gracious. Well, Todd, you know, thank you so much for joining us. Could you give us a little tip, you know, maybe in closing, about one of your really great things that you'd like to see everybody doing?
Yeah, I think that with this new year, I think the best thing that the listeners can do is just pick two or three small items to do better in regards to hygiene and infection control, whether that's hand washing a few more times a day, whether it's realizing points of contact where there's a lot of germs. So maybe it's the gas pump, mm-hmm. maybe it's the grocery store handles, maybe it's door handles and other places where their mm-hmm. hands touch. Just realize, yeah, use their sleeve or make sure to hand wash after touching those surfaces. And just pick a few of those habits. And maybe it is not, you know, drinking lemon at the restaurant, just refusing
right.
to drink lemon and having bottled water. I mean, just one, two, maybe three small things this year. Try it for 6 months and see if you can integrate it into your own personal way of living. And if you can do that, you're going to live a lot healthier.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Todd, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure to have you with us.
I appreciate it, and it's always been a pleasure. Thanks, Jeanette Gallagher.
Thank you. If you'd like more information about Todd Fox and his Outfox Prevention, please do check out the website on the bottom of today's show page. It is linked there, and you can click directly on it. Now, my goal for this year is about avoiding that which you don't need, because the point is we're all looking at trying to kill what gets into us, or something isn't working, and it's like, oh, well, yeah, I remember, you know, I took 20 antibiotics when I was in my 30s, and now I'm in my 40s, and maybe I shouldn't have. Well, you know, start avoiding them, you know, or, well, yeah, you know, I know that restaurant, the food's not always that great, but I just really want to go there. Well, maybe you're taking a really good hit on your GI system, and then you're wondering, hey, is this gluten? Is this sugar? Maybe it's a restaurant you're eating at. Maybe it's all those germs in your gut that have been so overwhelming, you know, no matter what you're doing now, it just can't really overwhelm them and get the bad ones out of there. So really, we're thinking we're putting good stuff in, but we're really hitting a lot of things that we really don't need. Number one thing this year, skip that glass of anything on the table when you go to a restaurant. Get it in a bottle that's already cold, or, you know, drink your own. That's my goal for this year. So thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. It's really been a pleasure to have you with us. And until tomorrow, please join us then. Thank you so much for joining us today here on Alternative Medicine and Wellness. It has been a pleasure to be with you, and we hope you found more information that will be able to make your life just a little bit easier. You know, it's not an easy trip all the time in this life, and sometimes we say, you know, if I could just maybe hear it from somebody else, or maybe hear that someone else is story might be similar to mine, or maybe just gain a few extra tips to make my journey a little bit easier. Please join us on Health Blast Radio every day for the year 2015, where we will be having so many different practitioners, all kinds of authors, just regular people like you and I, having a casual conversation about a different topic almost every day. Check out our website for more information on the Women Over Age 50 group. It is drjeanettegallagher.com. You can always just Google my name, Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and you will find out so much more information about upcoming radio shows, about other websites I have, other programs we are currently doing. And if you just need help, please pick any of the websites, any of the links, and send me a private message. Thank you so much for joining us today on Health Blast Radio. It's been an absolute pleasure, and please, just in the morning, before you reach for that cell phone or the television remote or even your glasses, open your eyes and say, thank you, God, for another day. It's been a pleasure. And have a great day.